The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Take your Bible and go back, if you would, please, this morning, and let's look at the book of John, chapter 20, and verse 19. Thank you, ladies, for that. That was wonderful. I praise the Lord for all the groups that we have that sing at different times, and we have a lot of different groups, but we're always looking for more people to get involved. You know, when you come to a church that's growing like ours, you may look at something like this and say, well, you know, well, if I joined a church like that, number one, it's too big, or there's not room for me, or I cannot plug in. Can I tell you, that's farthest from the truth. It really is. We have so many things going on. We need extra help. I mean, from the journalism club for our teenagers to with the children to the nursery to the teenage department itself to the singles. You'd be amazed how many places a person could plug in. I promise you, we could probably work you to death if you wanted to. And so I want to speak this morning out of John chapter 20 as our text verse in verse 19. I read it a moment ago. Let me just reread it for emphasis sake. The Bible says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. I want to speak this morning about the importance of church in my life. The importance of church in my life. Now, some of the things I'm going to say this morning, probably you're going to be able to identify with. Probably you're going to say, you know, that's important to me for that reason too. You know, and so you'll probably be able to look at some of these things this morning as I testify and use the Word of God to show the importance of church in general. You'll be able to look at those things and say, you know, I can associate, I can identify with that particular truth. You know, some things that's special to church about I see that is with me is the fact that we just get to come together. You know, there's people that you love, there's people that you get to know, there's people that become your friends, there's people that you get to serve the Lord with, there's people that join the church that become new friends, and you know, and then, you know, we get together and we go do stuff together and stuff like that, and it's just really neat to be able to come together. With church, you know, we have times where we come together. We come together for Sunday school, we come together for preaching on Sunday morning, we come together for preaching on Sunday night, we come together for Wednesday night. We go soul winning together in one of those five soul winning different times that's now available for people to go soul winning. Some work on bus routes. Tonight, if you were to come to church, give an example, there's about 60 to 70 people that's not in here that's participating in the other ministries that we have that's on property that when you come on Sunday night, you're like, wow, there's 60 or 70 people visiting tonight. I didn't see them Sunday morning, but they just happen to be working in other ministries on Sunday morning. But we're able to come together on Sunday night as well, those that are working in other ministries right now that's out serving. And so it's neat to be able to come together at those designated times. You know, it's just fun to be able to come together. Like on a Sunday night, we have the handshaking time. And man, I love standing in front of the pulpit and people come by, especially the little ones, you know, and I stand down here. I don't move around a whole lot on Sunday night when it's handshaking time because somebody might need to get to me or whatever. So I'll kind of station myself down here and people come by, they'll shake the hand, especially the little guys and gals, they'll come by and shake the hand. It's really neat just to shake people's hands and to hear their hearts. Boy, it's great to come and hear old-fashioned preaching. You know, you don't get a lot of that in churches around America today, but at Parkside Baptist Church, we get it for certain. And we have special speakers in for different conferences. We have some of the red hottest preachers in America that come to our youth revival and preach our youth revival every year and at other times. We get to hear old-fashioned music, and we make sure it's Christ-centered, God-glorifying, and doctrinally sound. And so we have the Christ-honoring music. Hey, we get an opportunity to give our tithes and offerings to keep people out of hell. And so that's a really neat thing. And then we get to watch the Lord as He begins to build people and change people's lives. You know, church is mentioned several times in your Bible, or the word churches. In the book of Matthew, it's mentioned 3 times. In the book of Acts, it's mentioned 25 times. In the book of Romans, it's mentioned 5 times. 1 Corinthians mentions the word church or churches 22 times. 2 Corinthians mentions it five times. Galatians mentions it three times. Ephesians mentions it nine times. Philippians mentions it two times. Colossians mentions it four times. 1 and 2 Thessalonians mentions them two times each. 1 Timothy mentions three times. Philemon mentions one time. Hebrews two times. James one time. 1 Peter one time. 3 John three times. And the book of Revelation 20 times. 117 times in the Bible do you see the word church or churches mentioned. You know, sometimes people think, well, church is a place of worship. Matter of fact, you'll see many churches, they'll use the word worship. They'll say, come to our morning worship service, or they come to the evening worship service. But in the Bible talks about how worship is a very personal time. Most of the time when you see people coming together for worship, it's a time where they come out and they come and they expect to hear some type of teaching or some type of singing, or maybe they'll have different groups that would get up. But when you get down to what the Bible teaches about worship, it's normally very personal. It's a time when you get alone with God, and you can really worship God honestly in a personal way, individually, better than you can worship God collectively as a group. Because sometimes when you come together as a group, what happens is you kind of put on the flair, you put on the show, and stuff like that. God's not really interested in the flair and the show. Worshiping God, as far as coming together collectively, was really started in Rome. Matter of fact, over in the book of Amos, chapter 5 and verse 21, the Bible says, I hate and despise your feast days. I will not smell, it says, your solemn, that which is assemblies, I will not accept them. And then you'll see this, where the Bible talks about how the church also was not necessarily established for that which is having an evangelistic service. You know, nowhere in your Bible do you see that the church came together for an evangelistic service, though we're supposed to evangelize. The Bible says in Acts chapter 5 and verse 42, the Bible says, and daily in the temple, in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. So in the book of Acts chapter 5 and verse 42, you'll see that the church had its place to do things. And there is sometimes we'll have big days and we'll preach the gospel. We preach it full and we give an invitation. It's just the gospel, sheer gospel. Every time you come to church, you're going to hear the gospel, though you'll see that you get a lot of things to grow by. And so we come together, we study the Bible, we come together to hear preaching. The Bible says in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, the Bible says, therefore it says, they were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. And so what did they do? Well, they did where we got the idea to do, and that is they became soul winning churches. They went out, they preached the gospel in jails, they gave out the gospel down the street, they gave out the gospel downtown, on the street corners, in the neighborhoods, to the poor, the blind, the lame, the halt, the deaf. They gave the gospel everywhere they went. So we understand a couple of things. We understand, first off, that you can probably worship God in a more real sense when you do it privately. You can probably do a better job there. We understand that the church was not established for that which is having a big evangelistic assembly on Sunday morning, where all you do every Sunday morning is you come and you hear the gospel. By the way, if you're a Christian, once you hear the gospel and receive Christ, you probably need a little bit more than that. You probably need to hear some preaching that's going to help you. So why is it that the church was established scripturally? Why did God give us a church? If it wasn't to come together so that we could take and worship God, if it wasn't where we could come together and just have an evangelistic service every time we meet to give the gospel, why did God give us a church? Why is it that church is important to me? What are some things that we see in the Bible that might make it important to you? Let me give you a couple of statements. Can I do it? The church was started for comfort, for comfort. Here's what we see. John chapter 20 and verse 19, the Bible says, in the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples, it says that they were assembled together for fear of the Jews. There were some fears in their life. And Jesus stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. So you understand that church is a place that can give you comfort. When you're in trouble, I'd get in church. When you're down, I'd get in church. When you're depressed, I would get in church. When you have a fearful heart, I would come to church. When you feel like things are not going well and you have a bad feeling that's overcoming you, I get in church. When you feel lonely, I would get in church. When you feel persecuted, I would get in church. In the book of John, you'll see 13 and 14, the book of John, you'll see that here Jesus is meeting with them. He's there, if you will, please. He's in the upper room. And here's what you're going to find out. He is giving that which is comfort. He did that even after he rose from the dead in John chapter 20, verses 19 and 26. He's giving that which is comfort. He's coming to them. They've got fear in their hearts. He appears before them. First thing he says is, peace be unto you. And so church is a place where you can come and receive comfort in times of perplexities and times of struggles. And, you know, I don't know how many of you have done this. I've been in the church service. All of a sudden, I come in kind of down, kind of low, things are not going well, man of God gets up, opens the Bible, and by the way, that's always a good sign when the preacher opens the Bible. But man of God gets up, opens the Bible, begins to teach and preach the truths of the Word of God, and you leave church feeling better than when you came. Well, what is that? That is God using the Word of God to give comfort. So one of the reasons we come to church is to receive comfort. That's one of the reasons that God used his son, who only started one institution in his lifetime, and that was the church. The church is to give comfort. Statement number two, the church is a place to receive encouragement. Encouragement. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the matter of some is, but it says exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So here we see that we're supposed to exhort one another. Now what is that? When you exhort somebody, you simply encourage them. You encourage them. You help them to see that yes, God can use them. Yes, they can be able to make it. There's something about walking down the hallway. All of a sudden you're down, you're depressed. It doesn't seem like things are going well. Somebody comes up to you and says, I just want you to know it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Somebody pats you on the back. Somebody texts you. Somebody calls you. Somebody encourages you. Hey, that's what church is all about. Church is about people coming, receiving a comfort, a coming, receiving encouragement. Somebody comes down to the altar, they're praying, they're crying, they can't seem to make it. Then all of a sudden a brother or a sister comes up, kneels beside them, begins to pray with them. Hey, church is a pretty good place. I'm saying that God created the church for comfort. He created it for encouragement. He created it as a place for us to give our tithes and offerings. I'm preaching at the National Sword Conference this, I think, coming July, up at Walkertown, Bobby Robertson's church, and preaching in that conference. And may I say this, what an honor that is. But I do believe this, and I know Dr. Smith believes this and others that's involved with the sword. We all believe that the tithe goes to the local church. We don't tie it to a radio evangelist. We don't tie it to a television personnel. No, we do it through the local church. Now why? That's the way God set that up. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1, now it says concerning the collection of the saints. So there's a collection going on. That's how come we say it's time to receive the tithes and offerings. You know, somebody gets an offering plate, they're walking down. What are they doing? They're receiving it. We don't expect somebody to receive from it. All of a sudden, the offering plate is going down, and people are saying, ooh, I want that one. You know what I take? No, no, no. You're supposed to put in, not take out. We get our ushers to pass the plate so that everybody can touch it. Even if you don't give, it's good to touch it. Just to feel, it's real. Wow, it's real. Okay, here's what it is. The Bible says, now concerning the collection of the saints, it says, as I have given order to the churches at Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let everyone, it says, lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. It says, that there be no gatherings when I come. All right, so we give it. Why do we give it? Well, okay, one day Jesus is going to return. It sure be nice to be able to lead people to Christ, buying gospel tracts and running more buses and helping boys and girls to get on the bus. We had one gentleman in our church, he said, and has done it for years, has helped to buy a bus every now and again. Now, why? Simply because there's a great need in the metro area to run buses so that people can have a way to come to church. That's a good thing.
Amen.
Our bus captains got up early this morning, got on a bus, about 60 or so workers got on buses, went down to the metro, went out to surrounding cities, picked up boys and girls and teenagers and men and women, brought them to church that doesn't otherwise have a way to get to church. They're sitting in classes right now all over the property, hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, hearing how to live for God. Hey, that pleases God. That makes God happy. You know what we're doing when we invest in stuff like that? We're laying up treasures in heaven. We're making sure the gospel gets out. Hey, it pleases the Lord when we give out the gospel of His Son. The Bible teaches in Malachi, you read it there as we studied Malachi, no doubt in your Sunday school class, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 7, where it says, even in the days of your fathers have you gone away from mine ordinances and not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return on you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Now they were thinking, well, they, you know, where did we depart? You know, some people depart and they have to be shook a little bit to be woke up, to realize where they departed from. You know, you get used to coming to church, but believe it or not, for some people that lay out of church, they get used to not coming to church. Some people are used to riding a bike. They do it every day. Other people, once they get on the bike, hey, it's easy to pedal it. You remember it, but you don't do it every day. A church is something we put into practice when we come in and you hear the truth. These people say, well, we don't know. We've left God, I understand. But wherein do you say that we have left God? The Bible says, will a man rob God? Ye rob me, ye say. It says, wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings? So God is concerned about the tithe. He is concerned about the offering. He says, you're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Now, here's what he says. When a person doesn't give their tithe and offering, God said, I take that personally. He said, you robbed me. You robbed me. I don't know about you, but I don't want to rob God. God's bigger than any man you'll ever see in your life. God controls all blessings. So I don't want to put him, if you would, second and third and fourth in my life. I'll pay God before I pay that which is the realtor. Because God is the one that can bless me with finances. The realtor can't. Say, well, I shouldn't rob either. That's how come you do right by God, because God is the one that could change the realtor's heart. The realtor's not the one that changes God's heart. I'm saying this. I'm saying you do right by God and man, but you do right always by God first. Here's what it says. The Bible says, bring you all the tithes in the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, I will not open the windows of heaven, the windows of heaven, the windows of heaven. Plurality, not singular. It's one thing, all of a sudden it's hot in the house, and you put up the window. Get a nice cool breeze that's partially coming in. Totally different when you put up the windows. Now you feel the breeze coming all the way through. Is it you sit in the middle of the living room or you sit in your chair and man, the breeze, and man, it's just relaxing because the wind is blowing through. Wouldn't you like the wind of God's blessings to blow through your life?
Amen.
Here's what he says. He says, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing and that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I love this part. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He says, and watch what it says, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast, it says, her fruits before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts, and all the nations shall call you blessed, and ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Here's what he's saying. He said, there's benefits to putting me first in your financial. I said this in Sunday school. I said, somebody comes into my office and they say, preacher, man, I'm in a financial straits. I don't know what to do. First thing I ask them, are you tithing? So why do you do that? Because if they're robbing God, they need to get that right in order to lift the curse. God said when a person doesn't do right by him financially, there's a curse. He said what's going to take place is, though when you put me first, he says, I'll even rebuke the devourer for your sake. So why are you preaching this on a Sunday morning? I'll tell you why. Because people on Sunday morning need to hear it just like others need to hear it. Very few times in our church, and these men could testify, very few times in our church have I ever preached a full-fledged message on finances. Some preachers won't preach it at all. I've been in churches where they won't preach it at all. And I say, shame on them. Because if you want your people to be blessed, your people have to obey God. Why is it that we don't want our people blessed? Why is it that we say, okay, we're gonna hide this blessing from our people? You've heard it said, I've heard it said, I practiced it, probably you have practiced it, that nobody can outgive. Talk to me. Nobody can outgive. You can't do it. You know, for the teenager, you can't do it. For the child even, you can't do it. You can't do it as a young adult, married adult, old adult, doesn't matter who you are, you simply can't outgive God. But we can be that one that doesn't obey him and we limit his hands. Statement number one, the church is given for comfort, encouragement, place to give our tithes and offerings. You ready? Place to mature. Place to mature. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 15, he says, and I gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting, that means maturing, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, that means building up, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He says, till we all come together in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, unto the measure, it says, of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine and sleight of men and cutting craftiness, whereby, it says, they lie and wait to deceive. All right, so he said this. He said there's people tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. He said one of the things by coming to church, you learn doctrine. Doctrine. Look, sad to say, you ask a young person today, why do you believe this? Well, that's what my preacher said. Well, that's what I heard from the pulpit. Well, that's what I was taught. Now, I'm all for teaching. I'm all for preaching. I do both. But wouldn't it be refreshing to hear anybody, young or old, to say this? This is what I believe because this is what the Bible says in this book, this chapter, this verse. Wouldn't that be good? Come on, folks. If this is the book we're supposed to live by, then maybe we ought to know it. I worry about churches that are just built on what the preacher says. Because when the preacher dies, the church dies. We need to be able to come back and say, hey, this is what I believe. This is why I believe it. It says it in the book right here. This is it right here. By the way, that's the way you're supposed to raise your family. I'm supposed to teach my children that we believe the Bible. And here's what the Bible says. All right, now wait a minute. Here's what we understand. So the church is a place of maturing. It's a place where we can mature. By the way, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of? Talk to me. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of? Okay, so the more you hear the Bible, the more God builds your faith. More God builds your faith. So the more you hear the Bible, the more your faith grows. By the way, the more your faith grows, the more you trust Him. Amen. Put my child on was it you? We're in the kitchen area. Was it you or one of the other guys? And I'd back up and say, jump. Was that you? You don't remember. Okay. It did happen. It did. But I'd back up a little bit, and I'd say, jump. And finally, one of my children said, no. Because that's where the trust level was. A guy had a rope across a canyon. He said, look. He said, how many of you believe that? And they watched him. He did it just earlier. How many believe that I could walk the rope? Walk the rope. Raise your hand. Walk the rope. People raised their hand. Oh, you can do it. Saw you do it. How many believe I could do it one more time? Oh, yeah. How many would trust me to do it? Okay, give me one volunteer that would get in the barrel and let me push him while I do it. Nobody volunteered. Trusting is an individual thing. It's funny, a guy was hanging on the side of the cliff. He'd fallen, hanging on the side. I love the illustration. Hanging on, you probably heard this before. It's so good, I'll tell it again. Hanging on the side of the cliff, and he said, help, is anybody down there, help. Voice came up and said, I'm here. He said, tell me what to do. The voice said, just hold on. Who are you? Voice said, God, what else do you tell me to do? God, let go. Is anybody else down there? You know, there's that trust. Yeah, if we would just understand that the Christian life is all about character. Okay, watch this. I work hard. I put in probably 13, 14-hour days. I give it everything I got. I'm not a lazy man. I watch this, if you will. Certain time I get up, certain time I head out a door, certain time I get at work, certain time I leave. And I watch this. These guys do also. And I watch this, if you will. I don't punch the button and say, I just think I'm going to take the day off. You don't do that either, do you? You have to be there a certain time. Some of you get up at 4:30 in the morning. Some of you get up at 5:30 in the morning. You know, you're sacrificing. You're giving it everything you got. Is that right? Okay. The same thing, it ought to be true about church. Well, you know, I don't feel like going. No, get it in your schedule just to go. Amen. Just to go. You take vitamins. You don't see a lot right at first. It's like, man, I'm taking this vitamin. I don't see any help. But if you take it for about 6 months to a year and you stop, you see a significant difference. You don't feel energy right away, but the more you take it on a consistent basis, the more it will help you in the long run. In the long run. All right? A person that's out there, they start to run. They get out there and they start to run. They might run 5 steps, pant, almost faint, and fall down. Next time they run, and they get out there, they made it 10 steps, 20 steps, half a mile. Now they're out there running a mile. Now they're giving it all they got. They're running 3 miles, 4 miles, 5 miles. Man, they're just giving it everything they got. Now, wait a minute, watch. But did it start there? No. Here's what happens. You come Sunday morning. Boy, that was a lot. I can't believe I made it. Man, I came Sunday morning. Wow. Hadn't done that in a while. Then all of a sudden, we have a special speaker. Now, I don't know why you won't come hear me, but we have a special speaker Sunday night, and you say, hey, I'm going to go hear that guy. Different flavor. I'm going to go hear the guy. So you run a little bit harder, a little bit farther. It's like, man, preacher keeps talking, Wednesday night, you got to be here. Wednesday night, teaching the value of the home. You need to come. You look at your wife and say, man, he's annoying. Man, all he does, blah, blah, blah. Let's just go check it out one time. one time. And you come, and you think, man, I checked it out. Wasn't all that bad. Pastor Wells kept me awake for at least a length of the sermon. Wasn't all that bad. Think I'm going to try it again. And you come back, isn't that right, champions? And so you come back, all right, and you hit it. Okay, now wait, watch this, if we will. What I'm saying is this. I'm saying that's how you mature. That's how you mature. You'll become a couch potato spiritually if you don't get more involved in church. So statement number one, you find comfort. Statement number two, encouragement. Statement number three, place to give tithes and offerings. Statement number four, place of maturity. You ready? Almost done. Here it is. It's a place where you and I can be inspired to obey God. Inspired. A preacher gets up and says, hey, you can be used of God. Need nursery workers. Help. Need somebody work with a bus kid. Help. Somebody go to the mission field with us. Come on, let's go. Get you in the public schools. Let's go. Be inspired by God. Bible talks about soul winning in that area. Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. Whatsoever I command you, though I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28:19-20. So you can be inspired about serving God, about going soul winning. You ready? I'm done. Here it is. It's a place where we can come together and be able to pray and be encouraged by others through fellowshipping together. Here's what it says. I'm done. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. They that gladly received this word were baptized, and the same day was added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. So what did they do? They came together. They had old-fashioned Baptist fellowship. Doesn't mention the cup here. So it's not talking about Lord's Supper. It says fellowship. So they're coming together, fellowship. There's just something about it. Hey, tonight after church, Dr. Smell's going to get up. He's going to preach, do a great job. He's going to give that. We have an altar call. We go over and fellowship in the gym. Okay? Fellowshipping together. Where's that come from? Like two fellows in a ship. They're kind of stuck. They can't get out. They're going to drown. So they got to talk. Fellowshipping together. All right? So we fellowship with each other. The more you get to know somebody, the more you walk beside them. You say, man, I don't know that guy up there. You know, lead singing. I like to get to know him. Like get to know his family. All right? Here's what you do. You see him walking down the hallway. He's walking down the hallway. You walk up, say, hey, that was a great song. That's a great song. How long did it take you to do that?
Years.
Years. Years. That is super. Man, I just want to say thank you. That was great. See you next Sunday. Sure. You know, next Sunday, he does something else, and I say, man, you led that congregational song. That was neat. Hey, who taught you to do this?
It's Granny Williams.
Who?
Granny Williams.
Granny Williams, okay? That was super. Man, you did a great job. I tell you what, I like to get to know you and your family sometime. My wife and I like to invite you over for a meal. Would you be interested?
We have five kids.
You have five kids. I'll get back with you. Okay? But fellowshipping together, okay? Hey, I met with my wife. We've hired extra people. Bring your kids. Bring your kids. It's going to be okay. How about if we do this? How about maybe next Saturday evening, about 6 o'clock, come to the house. I got one or two of the college kids coming out. They're going to help play games, and my kids can help play games with your kids. Hey, we can sit around, talk, fellowship. You like coffee?
No, Dr. Pepper.
I'll get back with you. Okay? You're picky, aren't you?
Yep.
Okay. All right. But that's called fellowship. You get together with somebody, you laugh a little bit, you cut up with them a little bit, you enjoy Thank you, BC. We were out eating at Olive Garden. My daughter was one of the graduates this past week, and so she graduated from high school. Last child at home in high school. Yes. 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 Maintaining our youth, but still, we're done. Okay. And so my daughter wanted to go to Olive Garden. So she's sitting across from me. My precious wife sitting to the right of me. Abby is on the end. One of her friends on the end. And Abby's talking, you know. And all of a sudden, you know, can I say it? Is it okay? I'm going to say it anyway. She spit, went in my soup. I said, this is terrible. It's terrible. I said, you like my soup, don't you? You like my soup. So when new soup came, you know, I said, Abby, would you like some of my soup? You can have it without doing that, you know. So I said, I haven't eaten out of my spoon. Here, have some. Put some on her plate. She ate it. Put some more on her plate. She ate it. She ate the whole bowl. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. But we fellowshipped. We fellowshipped. See, there's just something about it. I'm telling you, a church is a great place to be able to serve, to be able to get to know people, to be able to love people. Church is a good place of comfort, good place of encouragement, good place to give the tithes and offerings, good place to mature, good place to be inspired, good place to fellowship. I'm saying there's some things that mean a lot to me in my life that also can mean a lot to you in your life when it comes to church.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.